KJZZ's Sun Up is supported by Banner Health, Arizona's largest nonprofit healthcare system. Last year, Banner reinvested more than $1.1 billion in community health and charity care. Banner Health, nonprofit for Arizona. BannerHealth.com/nonprofit for AZ.
Hey, this is KJZZ Sun Up, your daily news update from here in Phoenix on our state and region. I'm Phil Latzman. This podcast, a daily digest of Arizona news, is reported by our KJZZ news team. It is Thursday, or as we call it around here, Friday Eve, August the 20th. And here we go with the check of the news. Well, a new report card grading Arizona's infrastructure gave bad marks to the state's water systems. As Alex Hager reports, things like dams, drinking water, and wastewater all got grades of C or C-.
The report says bigger, wealthier cities are leading the way with strong infrastructure, but shortcomings in rural areas brought down the statewide average. Frederick Tack with the American Society of Civil Engineers says a hotter, drier future means more money is needed to build and maintain all those pipes, pumps, and treatment plants.
We cannot afford to keep building infrastructure future generations cannot afford. The decisions we make have a really big impact in the future.
Arizona's low marks, Tack said, were all higher than the national average, but billions of dollars are still needed to keep the state's infrastructure up to speed with its growing population and economy. Alex Hager, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, the Arizona Supreme Court has rejected a lawsuit against Secretary of State Adrian Fontes. The suit argued he tried to trick voters into rejecting an election reform ballot measure that is being backed by Republicans. From the Politics Desk, Wayne Shutsky has that.
The lawsuit was filed on behalf of three Arizona voters by America First Legal, a firm aligned with President Trump. It took issue with the ballot description Fontes crafted for Proposition 144, which would make a number of changes to Arizona election laws if approved by voters. The suit argued the description doesn't mention parts of the proposed law that would explicitly state non-citizens cannot vote in Arizona elections, something that's already illegal. The Supreme Court found the three voters challenging the description didn't have standing, meaning they had no legal justification to bring the lawsuit in the first place. The court also concluded that Fontes has broad authority under the law to craft ballot measure descriptions, and that the language he chose was not false or clearly misleading. Wayne Shutsky, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, the U.S. is in the middle of its worst wildfire season in the last 10 years, but compared to other states in other years, Arizona has had a somewhat mild season. Taylor Griffith explains.
Arizona saw a slight increase in the number of fires this year compared to last, but they've been much easier to put out. John Truitt, the Arizona State Fire Management Officer, says that's for a few reasons. For one, there have been fewer starts in difficult terrains, save for the pocket fire near Sedona. Knowing that the potential for large wildfires was high this year, Truitt says fire officials were very active in their community outreach and prevention efforts.
And the messaging may be finally catching on. You know, folks not dragging chains as much and those kind of things.
Lastly, the monsoon arrived on time and brought the amount of rain that is typically expected, which helped with lowering fire risk and extinguishing active fires. Taylor Griffith, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, the Mexican state of Sonora, south of Arizona, has confirmed its first case of a flesh-eating parasite in a cow just days before the border is set to reopen to cattle. From the Fronteras Desk in Hermosillo, Nina Kravinsky has the latest.
The U.S. has barred cattle from Mexico from crossing the border for more than a year to protect against the spread of the New World screwworm parasite. Now, Mexico has confirmed the first case of the parasite in the state of Sonora, more than a year and a half after the screwworm first entered Mexico in late 2024. The border is set to reopen to cattle on Monday, starting with the Agua Prieta-Douglas crossing from Sonora into Arizona. The USDA did not immediately respond to a question about whether the reopening would still take place as scheduled. Texas has confirmed more than 40 cases since the parasite first appeared in the United States earlier this summer. Nina Kravinsky, KJZZ News, Hermosillo.
Well, the West Valley NAACP says it is filing a complaint with the Peoria Unified School District. As Bridget Dow tells us, it comes after three books written by people of color were removed from the K-8 curriculum.
Summer of Mariposas, A Raisin in the Sun, and Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass were pulled from the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades, respectively. The district says the decision was made based on the maturity of the language, themes, and situations in each work relative to the developmental readiness of students in those grades. But at a recent governing board meeting, several community members raised concerns, including Carrie Cooper with the NAACP.
We are deeply concerned about what has happened here. and we are going to continue to be a cooperative partner to press that we have dialogue regarding policy 1-204.
That policy, passed by the board last year, prohibits the adoption or promotion of diversity, equity, and inclusion frameworks. Bridget Dowd, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, Phoenix police have launched a criminal investigation into two officers whose actions could be detailed in a Tempe police report that describes a traffic stop 2 weeks ago. Matthew Casey has more.
The Tempe police report says a late-night stop happened near 19th Avenue and Broadway Road. A male driver and a female passenger told investigators they were beaten and tased by men the driver thought were riding in a marked police vehicle. Phoenix attorney Benjamin Taylor is not involved in the case.
The victims and even the Tempe police were not sure on 100%, like, who did this. But the fact that there's two officers who have been put on leave, Phoenix police must assume or think that these two officers were involved somehow.
The Tempe report says the suspect vehicle description is similar to older models used by four local police agencies, none of which are Phoenix. Matthew Casey, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
A new analysis of oversight inside ICE detention facilities finds deficiencies with one of the last remaining agency offices doing inspections. From the Fronteras desk in Tucson, Elisa Resnick has more on that.
The report comes from the investigative wing of the watchdog group Project on Government Oversight and uses publicly available inspection reports from ICE's Office of Detention Oversight. The office conducts congressionally mandated visits to report violations of detention standards and rate conditions inside facilities. Co-author Renee Klajic says facilities receive good ratings despite medical, hygiene, and other complaints from detainees inside.
If you look solely at the data about ICE detention inspections, it would appear that conditions within ICE detention have improved dramatically.
The data shows the number of violations reported by the office dropped by nearly 70% between 2022 and 2025. The proportion of facilities that received a superior rating has nearly tripled since the 2024 fiscal year. Elisa Resnick, KJZZ News, Tucson.
Well, there's growing interest in putting data centers and other power-hungry facilities in rural parts of Arizona. As Greg Haney reports, the state's utility regulator says it recently approved a measure that aims to ensure the costs of serving those buildings doesn't get passed on to rural residents.
Rural Provider sent a regulatory application to the Arizona Corporation Commission that would set up a checklist when signing power agreements with large users. The new measure means commission staff would review whether an agreement is in the public interest and whether costs could be shifted to other customers. The commission would then approve or deny those service agreements. Nick Myers is chair of the commission.
The problem is that you've got these co-ops that are relatively small in nature compared to an SRP or an APS. And they would have trouble serving a massive load.
A Pew Research report from earlier this year shows two-thirds of planned data centers in the U.S. are in rural areas. Greg Haney, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Arizona's Water Finance Agency took a step towards implementing two projects which could increase the state's water supply through partnerships with California and Mexico. From the politics team, Cameron Sanchez has details.
The State Water Infrastructure Finance Authority solicited ideas for long-term water augmentation projects last year and is exploring seven proposals. The board voted Wednesday to approve scopes of work for two of those proposals. Director Chelsea McGuire.
These are the scopes that actually dictate real work on the ground to give us real answers to the questions we all have, like, how much is this water going to cost? Do we have willing exchange partners and willing stakeholders and partners in the communities where these projects are going to be built?
The projects in question were proposed by EPCOR, a utility provider based in Canada. They would each bring in about 100,000 acre-feet of water to Arizona per year, but would take several years to implement. That's enough water to serve 600,000 single-family homes. Cameron Sanchez, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Rural and tribal communities in Arizona are facing a shortage of health care workers. The University of Arizona and the Gila River Indian community aim to remedy that by launching a new medical program. Suresh Garimella is president of the U of A.
Beginning next summer, 10 students will be admitted annually to the program. They will train as physicians in the Gila River healthcare system.
The partnership also means those students will receive a fully funded scholarship from the Gila River community. Arizona ranks 42nd in the nation for primary care access. In sports, Nolan Arenado hit a tie-breaking single over a drawn in infield to spark a two-run 10th inning as the Diamondbacks avoid a series sweep in Boston. They beat the Red Sox 7-6 yesterday. Newcomer Lars Nootbaar hit a pinch-hit two-run homer, one of the highlights of Arizona. They're without all-star second baseman Ketel Marte for a third straight game. On social media, Marte's agent said he was, quote, managing a personal matter and would undergo an MRI on his left knee today. The D-backs are home for a series against the Cincinnati Reds tomorrow. Another night off for the Mercury. They are, in fact, off till Saturday when they will host the Atlanta Dream. And that does it for this Wednesday edition of KJZZ Sun Up, Arizona's morning news podcast. This Thursday, August the 20th. I'm Phil Latzman. Thanks so much for being here, and we'll do this again tomorrow when it's Friday. Talk to you then.